And Barry isn't the only one who's been getting excited about the return of spring. Let's talk gardening expert Charlotte Philcox obviously loves this time of year, and she's been getting busy in her garden. Busy as a bee, perhaps. And so much so that she can completely lose track of time. Here's Sam with Charlotte's long day outside.
When it comes to gardening, I'm a classic example of the old song, I'm just a girl who can't say no. But gardening can get you like that. And at the end of every growing season, it's a relief when the pace slows down and I have time to nurse my bruises and aching muscles as I collapse into semi-hibernation. Like many garden owners, I usually vow that next year will be the one when I cut down on the work. Never again, I think. Next time around, I'll grass over some of the veg beds, give away my perennials, hire a well-fit young gardener, and get someone else in to do the mowing. I'll give myself time to do other things, go out more. Anything, I tell myself, other than another year of back-breaking labour. But any seasoned gardener will know that with the first sign of warm weather, the urge to throw ourselves back into the fray is inevitable. The merest hint of the season to come, and we're full of the joys of spring, as reckless and over-enthusiastic as the birds, which have been twittering in every hedgerow since the end of February. For me, as happened recently, this usually begins with a classic case of justing. I might be gazing idly out of the window when I notice something which just needs doing, and the next thing I know, I'm out there and just pruning a large apple tree. I tell myself that this won't take long, and then I'll be able to sit down with a cup of tea. 2 hours later, I'm still sawing and hacking away, and have noticed that the Rosa rugosas, which line the front bank, could also do with a trim. There's just time to do this before I stop for a cuppa. And this is the point of no return, for once I've started my assault on the roses, I notice that the native primroses, which grow in wild abandon beneath them, are being smothered by ivy, which just needs to be thinned out before it has garrotted them completely. Much later, I'm standing on the pavement, just admiring my handiwork, when a cheerful old fellow wobbles past on a bicycle. "They'll never work there," he announces, gesturing towards the newly liberated primroses, and lurches off into the distance, leaving me huffing and puffing with indignation. He reminds me of one of those people who appear on the rare occasion when I've decided to wash the car. You know the sort. They arrive at the exact moment when you've tripped over the hose, have soap suds and green slime running up your sleeves into your armpits, and are beginning to regret ever having started. And with a sweet smile, they announce, "Oh, you can do mine too while you're at it." It's enough to make the kindest person accidentally aim the hose in the wrong direction. Well, now I'm wondering whether to just run up the road and poke a large stick into the cyclist's wheel spokes, when the garden calls me back to some semblance of normality. And almost immediately, I noticed that the ornamental grasses are looking a bit rank. So it's off to the shed for a spring-tined rake, as I just need to sort them out too. My cup of morning tea is starting to feel as illusory as the Holy Grail. By the time I finish raking, the grasses look like the after photograph in an ad for post-lockdown haircuts and are quite presentable. Unlike me. And talking of which, I'll admit that my enthusiasm for chopping things back doesn't end with plants, as over the past year I've been cutting my own hair too. And as a result, the current state of my do has given a whole new meaning to the term lockdown. It's really easy, I announced to my friends. Just like gardening, really. You pull bits forward, chop the ends off and follow the line of the original cut. That is, until the line of the original cut becomes as unrecognisable as the edges of a neglected border, and my creativity turns into a scissor version of Russian roulette. Back in the garden, aware that I'm definitely starting to hallucinate, I decide to just chop back some of last year's perennials. Images of mugs of steaming tea skitter through my subconscious like mirages in a desert. Fortunately, as I'm staggering across the drive with yet another laden wheelbarrow, a neighbour walks past. We chat for a while, and suddenly I am aware of being on the point of collapse. "Oh well, better get going," he says as he notices the glazed expression on my face. "Half three already, nearly tea time." I am mortified. "Tea time?" I gasp. "I haven't even had lunch." And as if in acknowledgement, my stomach gurgles loudly. The neighbour looks at me, bemused, and sets off home along the lane. In his happy world, tea time and meal times must happen like clockwork. "Oh, lucky man," I think, as I collect up my tools. He is definitely not a gardener.
Gosh, no wonder Charlotte felt exhausted. I do too, just listening to that, don't you?